As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Tom, and this week we're talking about Resident Evil Village and other games.
Oh my god.
Oh,
first of all, welcome to the show, Tom
you.
Reed from the Scaredy Boys podcast. New episodes available every Friday.
That's true.
And may I just say, that wasn't a trick of editing. Tom, as a guest on Thumb Cramps, actually didn't mess up the intro immediately. Mm-hmm. Something that our guests love to do.
That makes Tom the best guest we've ever had.
It's true.
Every other guest?
Look, I'm not going to point out that I've been on before and probably f***ed it up the first time I was on.
Yeah, I mean, and you've made a mistake there immediately, but that's okay. I'll bleep that one out. You get one, and I'm leaving all of this in.
You can't mess it up while bragging. You can't brag about being such a good guest.
Look, there is a truth universally acknowledged, and that truth is that I may be the dumbest man alive, and there are a lot of dumb men on this show.
Oh, that's so funny. It is kind of wall-to-wall moron, it's true.
Usually I would just edit around stuff like that, but I think it's worth noting now to the audience how my life is hell for this podcast. When we decided we didn't want that little explicit E, it's just ruined my entire life. Third thing that is very, 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 very important about Tom's guesting on this show is that, Jackson, he has cucked you, a video game cuck.
I know. I've been video game cucked. I am the video game, well, cuck. The video game Resident Evil is my hot wife.
Yeah.
And you are the bull, HT.
Oh, this is
and
new
here
for
I,
me.
Here I sit, penis in cage, on a chair. As you, Tom, pound Resident Evil Village on the bed in front of me, but the difference is I don't love it.
So it's less it's less you're the cuck and more you're just sad banging your wife.
You're just having sex with my wife and I'm not super happy about it. Yeah, that's what's happening here.
That sounds
so
fun.
So for the last, I reckon, 6 months, Jackson's been excited about Resident Evil Village and constantly talking about how he loved 7 and now how he's a Resident Evil boy.
I was like, I loved Resident Evil 7 was one of my favorite games I've ever played, and then Resident Evil Village is like Resident Evil 7 but with a beautiful like gothic horror overlay, which I also adore. And I was like, and then lockdown happened where we got put in video game jail, and I'm like, I'm gonna play Resident Evil Village. And then I looked it up on Steam and I was like, I'm not gonna spend $100 on a video game. Insane.
I was looking at it yesterday. It's actually
clearly 100. You don't love your wife that much, Jack.
It's like $119. It's like
it's
PS5
so
prices. Yeah,
for 10 hours. Wow. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's like $12 an hour.
That's heaps.
I took 13 hours and 47 minutes. So
Well, maybe if that's how long it you know, on how long to beat, it had told me, I would have bought it. But
Tom's here today to tell you that's how long it took him to clock it, because he has clocked it.
That's amazing. That's
As
so impressive.
Last night, at midnight last night, the credits rolled.
Yeah, wow.
This is a famous last-minute Thumb Cramps clocking by a guest. A Hall of Fame appearance in Thumb Cramps.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I can't believe I'm nailing 2 out of 3 criteria here.
For a self-confessed scaredy boy, HT, often you play frightening games or go on ghost tours, or you put yourself in scary situations.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
To me. I don't know why I do it. It's not like
I know why you do it. It's because your partner both loves and hates you.
Yes. Yeah.
I've met her. She rules. She does. But she is it has a lot of similar qualities to me.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm dating dude.
Oh no.
Just constantly being like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we did this horrifying thing that will upset you? And you're like, yes, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how that would be true, but okay.
When we were talking about getting you on thumb cramps this week, you explained to me how you've been playing Resident Evil Village, and yep. That makes this situation way worse, which is funny. So,
you've
been playing it during the day, right? In your lounge room, like with the blinds open or something?
Yeah. Incorrect. Oh. I've been playing it at night, in bed, before I go to sleep.
Yeah, good.
Exclusively.
What are you doing? Are you insane?
Well, there's two reasons. The first reason is that the PlayStation is in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
The sexiest room where the PlayStation belongs.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
The Switch is in the lounge room because it's not a sexy console.
It's a child's console for sure.
But the PS4, that's in the bedroom.
Oh hello.
We all know that if you watched 50 Shades of Grey, that red room is just full of PS4s.
Yeah, absolutely. Or Xbox 360s with the red ring of death. That's what's in that room.
Rest in peace. That's
rest
what
in peace. Why don't we, you know, in like movies and TV shows back in the day, you would get like the old married couple in a bedroom watching TV in their bed. Bring that back. That seems insane to me to like chuck on like a black and white movie at the end of my bed while my wife sleeps and, you know, but maybe that's good. Bring it back. Makes me think of, for some reason, Chief Wiggum and his wife. They often do that.
They're often watching TV in bed. That's true.
I guess I wish that I lived Chief Wiggum's life. Is
that's
I'm
fair.
Saying right now. An idiot son?
Jackson, I feel like your father may have lived Chief Wiggum's life.
I am nothing if not the Ralph Wiggum of Sans Fans Radio. And Dusha, obviously, Nelson Muntz. Let's not mince 100%. Words.
Actually, no, Nelson Muntz is too easy. He's Kearney.
Yeah, you are Kearney, Dusha.
All right, that's fine. That's a cool name. Joel Kearney.
But also Joel Muntz, come on. I don't know. And there's Nelson Muntz exists in this very strange position where sometimes he's friends with Bart and the gang, and sometimes he's friends with Kearney and the gang. You know, he lives on that knife edge, Nelson Muntz. Like Pinky Barnes. It's the same kind of guy. You know?
Sometimes Nelson wants to nuke the whales because you gotta nuke something.
Exactly. Anyway.
So you've been playing Resident Evil Village to completion in your bedroom at night, even though you're terrified of horror things.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's... Look, my life is dumb. But effectively, one of the main reasons is... And look, I've played scary games on my own. I've played both Last of Us's, and I constantly forget that they're scary until they become scary, and then I want to die.
Last of Us 2 is both scary and emotionally tolling, so that would
I played that during the last lockdown. That was rough.
I remember that because you were living with Adam at the time, and I remember Adam would just be like, I'd be like, I don't know, chatting with him, playing a game with him, and he'd just stop and be like, oh, something intense has happened in The Last of Us, and I'd hear you in the background like, oh, oh man.
That game was rough. That's sort of I feel like Last of Us is like a horror game adjacent.
Yeah.
Whereas like Resident Evil is just horror games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so my girlfriend loves horror. She likes watching really f***ed horror movies, is looking for horror movies that will terrify her.
Hey,
and
Tom,
I have to be a part of that.
Stop that.
What I love is that, like every time a guest swears, I clock it. But I know it affects me none. But I know it. I can see it hit Dusha. And it always, it goes in a cascade. It hits me, it hits Dusha, and the guest... For a long time, it's just swimming there peacefully, not realizing what's happened. It's great. I love it every time. Go on.
Yeah, please continue.
She likes horror stuff. And I'm subjected to these things, ghost tours, scary movies, just terrifyingly awful things. and I was, I think we're just talking about games and things, and there was an ad for Resident Evil Village, and she was reading on Reddit about the giant woman, and it was all happening, and she's like, oh, can you play this? And I'm like, yes. So the other thing, she's always watching people play video games. We've all been there. I've got vivid memories of like watching my cousin like play Majora's Mask, and
for sure.
See, I was always the player.
I distinctly remember watching my cousin play Donkey Kong Country 3 and doing silly voices for the Kongs.
Yeah. And do you remember how they went?
No, but I have a distinct memory of like, so I had three older cousins who were all surfy dudes, and one of them, the younger one, was playing Donkey Kong for me, but then he had to go do something else, and he was like, hey, can you take over to one of my other cousins? And he was like, how do I do it? And he was like, I don't know, just do stupid voices, he'll laugh, and left. So clearly they didn't think much of me, which is great.
I thought you were doing the stupid voices.
No, 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 they would do them to amuse me. And I'll tell you what, it worked. I was amused.
Yeah, so she was like, oh, this would be great, because in her mind it's like watching a movie that happens, but I'm playing. Anyway, we often will play PlayStation. I'll often be playing PlayStation in bed as like we're going to sleep, like random games.
Nice.
Yeah, in this case, she picked the game, and I was like, you know what? Look, it'll be fine. I was umming about it, because I'm like, it's a sequel. And fun fact, I have not played 7. In fact, I have played maybe 30 minutes of one Resident Evil game.
Fair enough.
And that's Resident Evil 4.
Great
for
game.
For the Wii, I think.
Incredible four for the game. Wii? Four is on name a console, it's there.
I've played a bit of it and I remember being terrified.
It's scary. One of the first things you see is a lady stuck to a door with a pitchfork through her head.
Yeah, it's not a fun game. And I wasn't, you know, hadn't played 7, and I was like, oh, maybe, you know, people are like, I Googled it and people are like, normally Resident Evil games are pretty standalone, except Village is a direct sequel to 7. Yeah. And I was like, ah, okay. And then, you know, I was umming about it, and I asked a good friend Ethan, who's a young boy who plays games, and I was like, I'll ask the youth. Could I play Village? Because he was playing it, and I knew he'd been playing it, and he'd played some of 7, and he was like, I haven't finished 7. I've got Village. I've started Village. There is a cinematic at the start of Village, if you want, that will tell you the events of 7 you need to know. And I was like, well, in that case, I'll buy it. And look, having played it the whole way through, I might have missed out on little Easter eggs that you probably get playing 7 and playing 8.
Did you watch a cinematic?
I did watch a cinematic, so I know
the
plot of 7. Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't play 7. Jesus.
That is spooky. Yeah.
That looks just absolutely terrifying. Is that kitchen demo game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I guess they seem like different kinds of scary. Resident Evil 7 is like gross house hillbilly scary.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, exactly. And then Village seems like Dracula scary.
Well, this is the thing. Some parts of it are Dracula scary.
Okay.
Some parts are other kinds of scary, and it has a level and boss that I think is the second one, the second thing you sort of do. The broad premise of the game, without spoiling anything, is you play Ethan Winters, who's the character from 7. You have moved. You've moved on
survived
with your life.
7.
You and your wife. You've survived 7. You've had a baby with your wife, and then something terrible happens. You get taken away, and then in a series of events, you end up in this village. You don't know your baby is gone, and you're like, I need to find my daughter and bring her home. I don't know where I am. It's just a spooky village in, like, I guess Eastern Europe somewhere.
Yeah.
And awful things are happening in the village, and basically over the course of the game, you learn that a witch called Miranda, who is like the owner of the village, has your daughter and has given a piece of your daughter to 4 lords who run the village. And you have to go and beat each lord and take a piece of your daughter so that you can put her back together again.
Yeah, see, gracious. The thing with me, I find out that my daughter's in 4 parts. I'm like, well, damn.
Yeah, what can
and
I
then
feasibly
I, then
do?
Then I mourn.
That's it. The thing is, you don't find that out until you've already got the first part and you don't know what that is. And a very helpful character who is also the merchant of the game is like, you can put it back together.
Wow.
Does the merchant say, welcome, stranger?
No.
What are you buying? So what are you selling?
Now, this is the best part. So the merchant is called the Duke, and he says at one point, "What are you buying?" And then laughs to himself, and he goes, "That's just something an old friend of mine used to say."
Oh, great. Classic.
That's great.
Classic reference. That's a Resident Evil 4 reference.
Yeah. Which I then learned by looking up, you know, the game. Yeah. There's also lots of umbrellas everywhere, which I get because I've seen some of the movies. Yeah,
the Umbrella Room. You know, the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah,
that's a reference to that. Yeah.
Written by the guy from My Chemical Romance. That's,
yes, that's him. Of course.
But yeah, so each boss kind of has an area in town that you have to go to. The village, the titular village is like...
the village from Resident Evil Village.
Yeah, yeah, is the hub that you kind of...
There's a hub
repeatedly, and whoa, you travel out to these other areas to kind of explore and defeat the Lord within. Mm-hmm. The first Lord is the tall woman who is scary, and her, like, this is one thing I did find that I found really enjoyable is it wasn't just like go and find some monsters and kill them. Each kind of, particularly for the first two, not so much the last two, but each boss, his world and lair had kind of interesting stuff that you had to do to explore it. Like for the first one, you don't know that's what you're supposed to be doing. You just end up there.
Yeah.
And you just got to, after a certain point in the story, her and her three evil vampire monster daughters just start like appearing and following you. Like she just roams through this mansion and you just run into her at times and you got to run real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That's kind of similar to, so in Resident Evil 7, the evil dad will just be roaming his big mansion looking for you with a big rake that he wants to stab you with. And it's kind of the same thing. You're just like, I know he's around, but I have to solve Resident Evil puzzles at the same time.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Shit.
And there are parts where you're like, oh, I'm safe here because of X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But then it's just that was just terrifyingly awful knowing that, like, because the merchant appears in every area, and you're safe when you're in the merchant's area. And so I'm in the merchant's area with a save point, and I'm, you know, buying ammo and stuff. And I know that I've got to go out a door to explore the rest of the place. And the amount of times I'd be like, right, take a deep breath, I'm ready to go. I'd open the door, and she'd just be at the door. Yeah. She can't hurt me, but she'd see me, and the music would be like, dun!
Yeah, and you're like, oh. I think a really, like a good horror game gives you those moments of peace. It is so that you can later on be like, I gotta leave here eventually.
Yeah.
Like, I think that really helps with the tension a lot.
It's truly awful. And if you're lucky enough to survive and win that part, which was... by the end of the game, I was nostalgic for that castle and those vampires stalking me.
Oh, yeah.
Because the second boss, and I'm not going to go into too much detail because the less you know, the better. But there were times during the second boss exploring that part of the game where I would have to pause the game or go to the crafting menu for 5 minutes.
Put yourself a timeout.
Just give myself a timeout because I couldn't. There was a point in the game where I had to walk down a corridor in the dark and I refused to look at the screen and made my girlfriend watch and tell me when I had to turn and run away.
Wow. Which sounds scary.
I'm assuming that she wasn't saying nice things to you whilst you were too scared to look at the screen.
She is, like, this might not help your narrative, Joel, but she is actually very supportive.
Yeah, that wrecks so much stuff for me.
She'll be like, oh, do you want me to sing a song? And I'm like, nah, it makes it worse somehow.
No, I feel like that. See, I think that you're seeing that as supportive. I'm choosing to pick that as mocking. If someone's scared...
Like, this isn't real. This isn't real, Tom. It's fine. They're not real. They can't hurt you. And I'm like, I am aware, but still...
Tom, that's not supportive. Again, that's mocking. She's making fun of you,
four
Tom.
Four thumbs. But yeah, so the second boss is just... It's more psychological stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the puzzles you solve, you kind of build the mystery of, like, basically each puzzle you learn more about that lord and how they ended up being the way they are, which is really interesting and fun. But yeah, that boss is just like, and the actual boss fight is completely different to every other boss fight in the game.
Oh, that's cool.
It's not like, even though each boss fight is interesting, they always get to a point where the boss becomes huge and you have a gun and you've got to, like,
Shoot the weak points. Point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second boss just doesn't do that at all. and it's so much worse. And I've never been more terrified of a game. And when I got to leave that house, I felt my entire body just unclench. So Resident Evil, how dare you? Mr. Resident Evil, you've got a lot of explaining to do for the trauma you've caused a young boy who is almost 30.
So, Tom, how many thumbs for Resident Evil Village in total?
Yeah, what are we talking?
I'm going to go with 4.5.
Four thumbs and a knuck.
Because I loved so much of it. There is a bit at the back end that was disappointing. That then course corrected, but not in the way that I felt like I needed
to. That's fair.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Say no more. Don't reveal any more secrets about sleeping with Jackson's wife.
Yeah. Let me sleep with my wife on my own eventually. I would love to sleep once again with my wife. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you for your kindness.
Your Resident Evil wife.
My Resident Evil wife.
Your big wife with long claws.
Yeah. Someone draw fan art of me with that big, tall lady. And Handsome Tom, but she loves Handsome Tom. Not me.
So four thumbs and a knock, that's huge. And four thumbs for bowling, an equally big score. Jackson, what have you been playing?
Well, little Duke Nukem update before I get to the game.
Yep.
Is that I've clocked the game that was original available game. To you in 1990 whatever, and I've started on the next couple of levels, or the next world, Alien World Order. Each of these worlds is based on a country, which is confusing. So the first one was called, I forget what the first one was called, but it was in Amsterdam, and Duke gets high from drinking weed coffee, which was... crazy.
That's a real thing that definitely exists.
Yeah, I was like, all right, cool. And he's like, whoa, what is in that coffee? Which rules, because Duke Nukem Square doesn't know what weed tastes like. Come on. But Duke Nukem gives me straight edge energy for some reason, so I guess that's
he
fair.
He smokes a cigar all the time, Jackson.
Yeah, but can you imagine Duke Nukem drunk? No. Right? Yeah, there it is.
That isn't straight edge, though.
Okay, just anti-alcohol and anti-drugs then. But
except
loves
cigarettes.
Tobacco.
Yeah,
he loves Duke Nukem's cigarettes. A cop, right?
Basically. I don't know what he is, really. He's just a guy.
A maniac.
He's just a true loose unit. Yeah. Every level is based off a country in the world. The first one is Amsterdam. The next one is England. That level is called Bloody Hell. Very clever, Duke Nukem. Then the next level is based on ancient Egypt, and I've just arrived in France, which I think is called, like, Tour de Duke or something, which is also so stupid. And, disappointingly, I really don't like these levels. I think they got too excited, and all of the later Duke Nukem levels, all the Alien World Order ones, are really wide open. And there's a lot of, like, big, empty space that is just full of guys.
Yeah.
And so it's clearly not, like, plotted out like the previous ones would be, where it would be like, oh, this area, we've placed these enemies in this specific place for, like, the rhythm of the game or whatever. Instead, it's just, like, waves of dudes, and I'm just running around massive open areas, and it's just not as fun. I don't know. It's not as corridory or something.
You hate when games do that. You hated the end of Bioshock Infinite for that exact thing.
Yeah, I did too. That's right.
You want the
God,
game
I hated Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, we know.
What a terrible game.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Settle down. Pipe down. All right. How about you shut up for a bit? Hey. But yeah, you need fair. Either a big boss fight at the end, or just for the game to end. You don't want to do the. You know, like video games do this a lot. Like towards the end of a game, it's either like. One big boss, or there's just like a big open area where there's just like hordes of villains, or sometimes the game just ends and has neither of those things.
Yeah, which is what I'd like. No. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's just the levels don't feel as creative anymore.
Yeah, that's
they
fair.
Feel more like they were like, oh, let's just make, like, it's you're in that country or whatever, but most of the time it basically amounts to just a huge open space full of guys and... I'm just not as interested anymore. Yeah. I don't know. I'll still finish it. Whatever. I want to see what the boss looks like, but I want to see what terrible thing Duke Nukem does to the boss, because he's done some bad things to the previous ones. He shat in one.
Hang on.
Like a toilet.
Legitimately?
He kills the boss, and the boss is dead with its guts out, and then Duke pulls down his pants, shoves his ass into the viscera, pulls out a newspaper, and shits. It's insane. Anyway.
So he's not straight edge.
No, he's, who knows what, again, he's just an absolute maniac.
What a confusing man.
So, but the game, I do, yeah.
That just sucks, just quickly, because, yeah, to know that they came back to Duke Nukem 20 years later, and then they couldn't give you, they didn't take, because I was expecting them to take, like, newer game things and kind of, like,
me too.
Apply
me
them
too.
Retroactively. But no, they just went for waves of enemies, the classic DLC move.
Exactly, and like, oh, you're in, like the Egypt level was just a lot of, like, I don't know, like, big empty spaces with a pyramid in the background.
Yeah.
And boo! Guy after guy after guy after guy, and I don't know, it wasn't, there was nothing as inspired as Duke Burger or Babeland or anything like that, which was disappointing. Anyway, but the game I do want to review today, the game I do want to talk about, is a game called The Convenience Store. It's a little game. It's a horror game as well. It's a little game,
Tom.
you can get on Steam. It's by a company, or maybe just one person, I don't know, called Chiller's Art.
That's a crazy first and last name.
Well, I'm assuming it's a... No, I think you're right. I think that's their legal Christian name.
Chiller's.
Chiller's. Hi, I'm Chiller's. Chiller's Art. Anyway, so it's one of those games, you see a lot of them these days, that it's like kind of like a genre where it's a horror game designed to look like a PlayStation 1 game.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Which always adds to the spookiness, I think. I love that sort of vibe. And it's a really short game. I think I played it to completion on Twitch at twitch.tv/JacksonBailey. And it's clearly kind of J-horror inspired, like Japanese horror inspired.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For the layman out there, J-horror.
I thought you were like, oh, Jamaican horror. That's a new genre that I've not heard of.
Yeah, Jehovah's Witness horror. Yeah, sort of a JW horror. A J-horror. Anyway, so the basic premise is that you are a girl who... works at a convenience store. The game takes place over the course of, I think, 4 nights. So you start in your apartment, you get to grab your torch, you get to change into your clothes, you got to put some food in your microwave and eat it. Then you walk through the, like, almost pitch black streets of your little village to this shining bright convenience store. And you go in and you replace the guy on shift. And he's like, hey, someone died on that bridge you just walked over. They saw a ghost there. And you're like, that's scary. And he's like, haha, ghosts aren't real. And then he leaves and you're alone in the convenience store. And the first letter, and it'll give you like a task, like, oh, there's some expired food on the shelf. Go collect it and throw it in the bin out the back. And so, like, I collect all the stuff and I'm taking it to the bin out the back. And obviously it's a convenience store, so it's got like a sliding, like an automatic door. And it's like, ding, whenever anybody walks in. And you, like, dump the stuff out the back and you can hear, like, the door going, ding, 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 ding. And you go back and it's just, like, opening and closing by itself. And you're like, well, that's spooky. Okay.
No.
And then,
yes, Tom. Yes.
But then otherwise the day just pretty much ends normally. You get a spooky VHS that you watch, but it's... who cares? And then it's like this part of the game that I don't think it needed. Like the working at a spooky convenience store is spooky enough. But then you go back the next day and the guy who you replace is like, oh yeah, the door's broken. I don't know. Somebody's gonna come fix it. And you're like, oh okay. And you're doing other stuff. And then it goes ding 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 again. And there's like a security camera you can watch. And I was like, oh, I'll just check the security camera to see if anybody's out the front. And as the doors go, it's like, so the security camera is like looking down the front of the store.
Yeah.
And you just see a little tiny pale child at the door and then like crawl off screen. And the door's like, ding, it just stops moving. And you're like, oh no. But whereas you're sort of a scaredy boy, HT, I think of myself as a brave boy or a stupid boy. Because I just don't. Like, a lot of horror games, like this one, I saw the little boy, I got spooked, then I ran outside to see where the little boy had gone, to give him a thrashing. stop scaring me! Leave me alone!
In the crafting menu for you.
No, I don't. I find so often in horror games, I'm just like, leave me alone, stop annoying me, ghoul. I gotta go find you and fight you. You know what I mean? But yeah, this, I think this game, like, even having said that, this game does a really good job of, like, putting you kind of on the edge. Like, and in interesting ways as well. So, like, at one point, the air conditioner breaks for your, for the supermarket, the convenience store. And a guy's like, he arrives and nobody's told you that he's meant to be here. So a guy walks in and you're like, what? And then he's like, I'm just going to go out the back. And out the back is spooky, like there's some bins. I don't know, it's scary.
That is scary. And trash.
And he, you know, like, you know, the fear of being...
the
so
fear
stupid.
Of bins?
No, the fear of going outside to the bin and something getting...
Yeah. So it, it does no, like, a good job of...
No, not a thing. The fear of going out to the bin.
There's an abandoned mill across the road from where I live, and when I go and put the bins out at night sometimes, I just look in the mill, and I'm like, don't look in the windows of the mill, because the minute you look in the windows of the mill, Tom, there's going to be a man's face.
Tom, you used to live a 10-minute walk away from a prison.
Yep.
Well, that's scary for other reasons. If Handsome Tom got arrested, imagine how quickly they could take him to the jail.
You'd only have such limited freedom.
Yeah. They'd be like, we're not going to take you to court. It's actually quicker to take you straight to jail.
Oh, the worst part is, so the best part of being arrested is definitely surely being put in the back of the Dibby van. But imagine they're like,
you
can
just walk.
Yeah, we're just going to walk you there. You'd be like, no, that's the best
put
bit.
Put me in the Dibby van.
That's how I imagine it happens when you get arrested by bike cops. They just flank you and handcuff you to each handlebar, and you've just got to walk like a loser. That's the whole punishment. They don't arrest you or give you a ticket. You just have to be walked like a loser through town.
Like a big human puppet by the two bikes. That is humiliating. No, but so the person comes to fix the air conditioner, and he just goes out the back. And even though nothing spooky is happening, you're like, I know out the back is a scary place. I know I'm going to go out there and he's going to have disappeared. Like, there's no way he's going to just be safe out the back there. And so you're, like, doing stuff in the convenience store, but then you continually, like, look back on the security camera to be like, is he okay out there?
Yeah, it's of course he's fine. So, don't worry about it. He's a professional.
He knows what he's doing. He's just fixing your air conditioner.
Donnie's aircon repairs. That man has 5 stars on Google reviews.
Yeah. The game, obviously, because it's kind of quite a short game, it does ramp up the horror at a certain point. And for me, that is always when it gets like less spooky. There's a puzzle that you have to do that any fear just stopped because I got mad at the puzzle. I was like, what does this ghost goddamn want you? Shut up. I can't figure this out. Stop haunting me and tell me what you need. So it lost a little bit of something there. I wish this was like a genre of game where it's like very normal job simulator.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, we're adding layers of horror and tension over the top of it. Mm-hmm. When I finished playing the convenience store, I was like, is there anything else like this? But there kind of isn't. Even Chiller's Art, who's done a bunch of games... that are in the kind of like J-horror PS1 spooky sort of style has never quite done anything kind of like the convenience store again, but I really loved it. It was like such a fun little horror gaming experience, and I think a good horror game gives you stuff to do that isn't scary and then spooks you on top of that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the puzzles in Resident Evil, or like, I don't know, even like navigating the space station in, say, Alien Isolation. Like, it's just like, you're doing other stuff. Your goal is not to get spooked, but spooky stuff is happening around you. And the convenience store, I think, is like a little concentrated version of that before they blow their load all over me and it just becomes Ghoul City or whatever. And I'm like, well, who
just
cares?
Just too many guys.
Now?
Just too many guys.
It's too much nonsense now. I'm not into it. I liked it better when I was throwing expired meat in the bin outside and, like,
scared
I come
of
back
going
in
to the bin.
Yeah, but then, so, like, a great little horror moment, right? Mm. I throw some expired meat in the bin outside. Oh, no, sorry. I had to spray rats with rat poison.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Another classic gaming activity.
So I kill all the rats out the back, and then I go back in through the back door. And then... So that you go back in, there's like a storeroom and then a door to the actual store. Uh-huh. And I go to open the storeroom door and it's locked. And I can just hear ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, let me out. And then I go to open the door to go out the back to go around the front of the store. And the back door is locked. And I'm like, oh no, I'm locked in the storeroom. Mm-hmm. And that was just like, that was just so effective because I wasn't seeing anything spooky. I wasn't getting attacked. There were no ghosts. I was just like, who locked the door?
And you're just hearing ding, 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 ding,
ding. And I'm like,
ding, ding,
there's a ghost in the store, but I can't get to him to give him the thrashing of a life.
No, that's I get what you mean by like the puzzle and the slow build to rewind back with Village. So many of it is like you're in one location exploring it, and you explore a certain bit, and there's some locked doors, and you solve some problems, and you come back and you do something else. And then you get something and it's like, well, now you need to go back to that room you were in before. And you walk in and it's like, oh, all the lights are off.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
The big man bolted to the wall is no longer bolted to the wall.
Oh, and
it's
my.
Like, why would you do this?
Yeah. Hey, Jackson, how cool does Resident Evil Village sound?
It sounds amazing.
You'd love it, I reckon.
I'm sure I would. But
there are parts where it's like, oh, there's too many guys. But at the same time, there are parts where there are no guys.
Well, exactly. And hey, Resident Evil 7 had too many guy bits as well. And they can be used effectively as well. It's just in Duke Nukem, you're like, I'm not in it for the guys. I'm in it for Duke Burger and weird Beavis and Butthead references.
Doing a poo in a man.
Doing a poo in a man. Exactly.
Does Cornholio appear in... Duke Nukem.
I wish, dude. Apparently you can find a lot of other classic 90s first-person shooter guys who've died in the game, and the Duke will say something rude to them. Like, you can find Doom guy dead, and Duke will be like, hey, whatever. I don't know. He said something rude to him. I couldn't think of anything at the time.
Great reference.
Thanks, man. Thanks for giving me nothing throughout it as well.
The
convenience store's great. I really enjoyed it. It's really short. Again, like maybe 2 hours to beat, something like that. If you just want like a short, fun little horror experience, I definitely get on it. And try some of Chiller's Art's other stuff, because they've got a bunch of other awesome little games.
Tell them Jackson sent you.
Yeah, tell them Jackson sent you.
I am never mentioning any of these things to my girlfriend.
No, it's all right, I will.
Yeah, good.
You I think one of the, son of a...
One of the games that I want to play by Chiller's Art that I've not played yet, but I might play on Twitch, twitch.tv/JacksonBailey, is it's called The Caretaker, and the premise is that you're just looking after an old man in his big house, and that also sounds scary. Kind of for the same reasons, where you're like, I just got to cook this old man dinner, but obviously there are ghouls.
Yeah, whatever. Obviously. Yeah.
So, probably I'm going to give it probably 4 thumbs and a knuck. Maybe just 4 thumbs, just because it blew its load a little early, and I thought they could have drawn it out a little bit more.
Yeah, that's
fair. And made it, like, less spooky. Turn off all the lights, and then I got to turn them back on, do stuff like that. But great game. I recommend it.
Yeah, that's
sick. What about you, JD?
Dungus,
what you been playing?
I've been messing around with a few things of recent. I recently played to completion GoldenEye 64 on twitch.tv/DushaForever. Over 3 streams, I managed to clock GoldenEye from Dam to Cradle. Just got it done. Trevelyan is dead at my hands.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you.
I would love to measure time from Dam to Cradle.
Yeah.
How long will it take? Oh, roughly from Dam to Cradle.
Yeah.
Well, Dam to Cradle was about between 6 and 7 hours, I think.
I say we make Dam to Cradle and you go to Woe. Like, from how Dam long to did Cradle. It take to beat from Dam to Cradle? You know what I mean? Yeah. What was the length there?
If you had to apply this new time measurement method to convenience store, Jackson, what is the method? From house to bins?
It will probably be from microwaving your dinner to solving the little boy's TV puzzle.
It's not fair.
The equivalent.
I think
God,
Village
I hated
is
that TV puzzle.
Spooky fairy tale to spooky fairy tale.
Yeah.
It never ends.
GoldenEye, I think I've actually spoken about GoldenEye before because I played it. I played, thrashed the multiplayer during one of the lockdowns. One of the many video game jail visits, stays that I had in the last 12 months.
For sure.
Victoria loves video game prison.
Loves putting thumb cramps in it for gamer-related crimes. Another thing I've been playing, and this wasn't on twitch.tv/DushaForever. This was at the loathed twitch.tv/HaydenHaydenHaydenHaydenHer. And that was the...
I thought I would be able to come on to a podcast and not hear that man's name.
Yeah, well, you heard it 4 times.
Yeah, I know.
The most loathed man in gaming.
True. Nintendo's tried to have him fired from a cannon.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Mr. Nintendo's looking for. we want to fire Hayden out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Into the sun, if possible.
Yeah. But if we miss, we just want to get him into space so he can't hurt us anymore.
Yeah.
But me and him were playing the two-player online multiplayer game Spy Party.
Oh, yeah, I know Spy Party. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So Spy Party is a game that is still in early access despite the fact it got released in 2018. There is a few very, very strong negatives straight off the bat. Its price point is ridiculous. It's $35 Australian. It is not worth that much. But the premise of the game is that one person is a spy at a party, and they need to complete a couple of spy missions without... and so one person is that, and the other person is a sniper who has one bullet in their gun, and they need to shoot the spy.
Oh,
so
what a cool. that is a very good raw concept for a game.
Yeah, and apart from the fact that it's still in early access and therefore has like some placeholder stuff, some things are very rough around the edges. The multiplayer looks like it's from like the multiplayer menu looks like it's from 1996. It looks like plugged my Nintendo 64 into a phone line or something. But apart from those things, once you're actually in the game with a friend, it is so stressful and so fun, provided you're playing it properly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hang on, Dusha, can we circle back? Provided you're playing it properly. Mm-hmm. Now, you're playing with most loathed man in gaming and ruiner of Human Fall Flat, Hayden. So, can I put on my wizard's hat and take a guess that he was not playing it properly?
Incorrect.
Were you playing it improperly?
No, we were both playing it correctly.
I could not be more shocked right now.
So the thing is, and I think what happened is because the price point is so high, we decided that... so both of us weren't streaming it. It was just Hayden, but I was in his stream. So what we decided from the start was during the mission setup and while the missions were happening, I would mute him on Discord so I couldn't hear what he was saying so he could talk through his chat with what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And it made it way more stressful because especially if I'm the sniper or something, he'd just see... so the spy's point of view is you're in the party, but you can see the laser pointer. So you can see where the sniper's looking. And like occasionally the laser pointer would just fall on his character and he's like, shit, 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 shit. He's onto me.
That rules.
Yeah, before we started playing, it was like, look, because you get one bullet and the rounds take a while to set up, you can easily just like... start the game and as the sniper just immediately shoots someone that you just don't like the look of.
Yeah.
And end the game.
Yeah. Which is funny.
But then you've got to do the whole...
Yeah, but if you keep doing stuff like that, it becomes less funny and just annoying. But we didn't do anything like that.
That's great.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. But I get it, though. I get it, though.
Because it was $70 we had to pay in total to play this. So... yeah, again, like I said, price point way too high, but I honestly think that because it's stressful and it's exciting, that, like, I could happily play it with him or some of my other friends at another point in time. Jackson, I believe you would love this game, and
I think I would.
Adam would also love this game.
Yeah,
this reeks of an Adam game.
Yeah. And the more you play, so at first it's just one level. And there's four missions, and there's a couple of different game types. So stuff like you can... There's four missions, but you can be like, they need to just complete any three of the four. Or they need to complete all four. Or they just need to complete however many you decide. You can change the time limit and stuff like that. The game is kind of... It's a basic concept, but there's a lot of moving parts. And there's a tutorial that takes about 45 minutes to complete. Oh, 30 to 45 minutes. But if you are buying this game to play with friends, make sure you and your friend both do it because it makes like multiplayer immediately way better. Because if you're trying to coach someone through how to play it whilst they're playing it, it will wreck the game. So yeah, it's hectic. My only issue is it should be about $20 cheaper.
Yeah, it sounds massively expensive for what it is.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I really... There seems to be... I mean, I know this came out in 2018, but there's a lot of really great... Like, what's the word? Like, asymmetric games.
Yeah.
There needs to be more of.
Yeah.
It's a great genre of multiplayer game where one person has one set of rules and one set of abilities, and the other person has a whole different set of abilities, and they synergistically work together. Not enough games do that. It's like one of my favorite things in gaming, and it's hard to find. So this sounds sick.
Yeah, I might try and raise money for more copies of this game to be bought, because I think that teaming up multiple, like, because it's 1v1, which is obviously that makes it hard, but just like there's lots of combinations of people that I think would like playing it together. Like Adam, like you, Jackson. Tom, even you would probably like it.
Yeah.
Get to be a spy and then maybe get shot.
I mean, I like the first part.
I like the second part.
I think that I would, if I was the sniper, I think I'd just shoot so many people by accident, like constantly.
Because you get paranoid. Especially when the time's running low and you're like, there are... But as you win more and more games, you unlock more and more stuff. So there's like multiple, more levels, you unlock extra challenges. So more complicated missions or more interesting missions, I guess.
That's amazing. Yeah, it sounds great.
I would say three thumbs and a knock because, again, very janky and so expensive.
Yeah.
Although, expensive. I don't know if it's ever on sale. I could be a rube and I've paid full price and it could be one of those games that's always 50% to 75% off. But, look.
I like to imagine, Dusha, that it is always 50-75% off and you got the cheap price.
No, I definitely
didn't. Normally $60.
I definitely didn't buy it on sale. I was sure of that, but I was too impatient. I bought it anyway. Three thumbs and a knock, but if it was like $10, it would be a four thumb and a knock game.
That's fair. That sounds great. Yeah.
And now, Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Tom, it's time for my favorite part of the show. It's
mine too.
The ads. So here is a quick word from our sponsors.
Oh my God. Yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you, sponsors.
What a great word.
And those were some really good ads and really good words from the sponsors.
I would love to come back on this show, regardless of having played any games, just so I can hear that again
and be
a part of that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now it's time for my second favorite part of the show, which is the emails, where people have emailed us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or they have tweeted us at thumbcrampspod on Twitter. To get in contact with us, so that we need to stop thinking, and I just need to read, and then we just think to answer the question, and then we move on with our lives.
It's a great moment in Thumb Cramps history.
So this one...
It almost makes all the things that you have to deal with guests and other idiots saying rude words worth it.
Mm. See, the thing is, emails often slip rude words in, but I just ignore them. Mm. I just don't read the rude word, or I swap it for heck,
professional.
Or hell.
Yeah.
Real professional, Joel Dusha.
That's me, the professional. So this email's from Michael B. Hey guys, I'm just curious to know how you guys decide what game you're going to buy and try out next, and how do you know when it's time to quit and move on to a new game? Best, Michael B.
I can't believe Michael Bay is asking us for our video game opinions. That's huge.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Big ask. No, I think for me, it varies, I guess. So sometimes
when
it'll be...
When Ennui settles in for you.
Yeah, when Ennui settles in for me, I'm like, I need something to give me that spark of life again. Often it'll be like, oh, my friends are all buying a game that they want to play together. Dread Hunger, which I reviewed last week, was kind of that. Which I've played more of now, and I'm bored of it. I hate it now.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't... I just immediately, if I'm the bad guy, act silly and nobody has a good time.
Yeah.
Or it'll be a game that like, in the opposite direction, I'm like, I think this would be fun to play with friends. So, for example, there's a game that I keep seeing called Intruder, where some of you play as people breaking into a house, and some of you play as people who have to basically trap the house to stop the intruders from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that sounds fun. And so I kind of was like, anybody want to play this with me? Shall we get it? Or whatever. So I buy it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll be if I... like, I don't know. I just think it looks fun, I guess. Like, convenience store was an example of that. Like, oh, this looks up my alley, so I'll go for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a boring answer, but just the case.
Well, because a lot of the games I buy are on Switch. To be honest, more of the, like, leaps of faith I take are on the Switch or the PS, the PlayStation store. And I mostly just get my recommendations from scrolling through them and looking at, like, things and being like, oh, that looks interesting. And then I might Google it to make sure it doesn't have, like, bad reviews.
Fair.
Or just see if it's on sale. And if it's on sale, I'll be like, well, yeah, I'm more likely to take a risk here.
Oh, absolutely.
How to stop 100%. Playing games, though. I often stop playing games when I finish them.
Yeah, I've never, like, there are games that I've probably played some of and gone, oh, this isn't for me. But I usually realize that pretty early in the piece.
So either... So, realizing it's not for you, getting very obviously bored, finishing the game, but I also, and Michael, I believe that this is probably the problem you're having, I don't like games like Skyrim that just go on for a million years, and you can constantly be finding extra stuff to do. So I never have the problem of knowing when to put those games down, because I don't pick them up in the first place.
I take breaks from them, not when I get, like, sick of it, but something new might come out, and then I'll always have that to go back to. Like, I can always go back to a Skyrim or back to a Breath of the Wild or, you know, something like that.
I always think that I can go back to those games, but then most of the time I go back to them and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's still the same. I don't know. I struggle to get... I'm like, oh, I've sucked every ounce of enjoyment out of this game already.
Slept it all up.
Damn. Yeah, exactly.
The shortest besides Resident Evil is a game that was recommended to me by my brother I was like, okay, he's like, he was so adamant to be like, you'll like it, but you're going to hate it initially and you need to just get over that. And unfortunately, I have not played it again since, and that's Dark Souls something.
Oh yeah.
It's
it's
my literal nightmare. It's a game that is too hard and hates anyone trying to play
And
it's a bit spooky. Like, it's
all games should come with an easy mode.
Yes, I agree, for sure.
I'm sorry, but they should.
No, you're right.
The games aren't the Olympics.
That's a great little pull quote from this episode.
The games aren't the Olympics.
It's true.
Next email is from Ethan. It says, here, have a question. Dear Thumb Havers, what is the first video game you remember playing, and was it good? Thank you for reading my question. Love the show, and congratulations on still having your thumbs. Love, Ethan, and then five thumbs up emojis. The first video game I remember playing is Super Mario Brothers on the NES. I got an NES from a garage sale when I was like 5. My parents brought it home. I have vivid memories of this. My parents found it at a garage sale. They brought it home, and my dad was like, I'm going to set up this gaming, like, video games for you. And yeah, I remember getting really addicted to the first Super Mario Brothers game. Which, rules. Controversially, is good.
Yeah. Whoa, dude.
Wild.
Are you sure
about that? They should make more of those games.
Yeah. I think for me, shockingly, it's hard to tell because I'm not sure of the perfect timeline. It's either Commander Keen, if you'll recall Commander Keen, or Superman 64.
Okay. So one of those isn't good.
Yeah, well, yeah, because recently I realized that I remembered being at a cousin's, who's much younger than me, and they had a Nintendo 64 before I did, and playing Superman 64, being like, why can't I play this game? Why am I so bad at it? And it's because it's a half-finished game. But I think that might have been at least one of the first games I ever played, if not the first. I think I'd struggle to remember the exact first one.
We didn't get, like, consoles or anything until, like, later. So, like, my first console game, I think, was, like, Gex. Like, the second Gex game, not the first one.
Gex
Deep Cover Gecko.
Hell yeah, I remember that. I clocked that game when I was a kid. That game rolled.
Such a great game. You team up with, I want to say Carmen Electra, but I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one I remember playing on a console. But like the first video game I remember playing was a game that we had on a floppy disk where you were a bus driver.
Hell, and you had
to like pick up kids and get them to like different parts of town in a time limit. And it was like an 8-bit kind of like floppy disk game. That's like awesome. I can still remember the noise the bus makes when it's idling in my head. So I think that's the first game I played. But the first like game I played was that or like a Pokemon, probably.
Yeah, fair.
That's fair. All right, and finally, the last email. And this is going to have a part, Tom, that's going to come as a surprise to you. Because without context, it's going to sound like madness.
Okay, that sounds like everything either of you ever do. So
okay, so the subject of this email is Switch suck-offs.
Oh, yes.
Dear Thumbinos, my partner and I are moving into a motorhome in the next month to live the dream. Definitely nothing to do with the average house price in New Zealand being $1 million plus. And because of this, I'll be ditching the Xbox and PC for the Switch. Tell me, boys, what are some Switch games with good replayability that are bound to suck a fella off? So that part, that's thumb cramps, you get that. Ha 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 ha, we'll answer the question. But, P.S. Once jerked it to the Saboteur, a Rockstar game set in World War II featuring titties. No shame. Love, Felix.
That rules. Thank you so much, Felix. That rules. That's exactly the kind of feedback I'm looking for. Appreciate it.
Was the feedback, have you ever jerked it to a video game?
Close.
It's more complicated than that.
So,
okay, you know what?
Actually, Tom, you're a perfect sample size for this. So, Joel Zammett and I think that this is absolutely madness. But Jackson thinks that any type of titillation, whether it be video games, movies, or other media, is intended so that the audience can jerk off at that exact point, if it's socially acceptable. So if nudity in a horror movie, they're putting that there so that you can jerk off. In Duke Nukem, which is where this started, there is a little joke where you can give certain women money and they reveal their breasts, which Jackson said, that's sad because that means that they want people to be jerking off. And I was like, no, that's not true.
By that logic, you're saying anytime there's any kind of you see nudity on screen, that is a point where the people who have made that medium want you to jerk off.
I think 99% of the time.
We're saying 100%, so we've already knocked him back
1%. Well, obviously sometimes sometimes people use nudity in other ways in media, but certainly in Duke Nukem, in schlocky horror movies, it's designed to titillate. And therefore, it's not unreasonable to assume someone might be pleasuring themselves at the exact moment.
You're adding a lot of sometimes and maybes that just were never there originally.
I can hear the backpedaling from here. Your ankle's okay, man.
Fine, I'll forward pedal. All art that features nudity, including the works of the great masters, you go to a gallery, Picasso, Pinocchio is nearly what I said. Yeah, Pinocchio paints a nude.
Yes, Picasso, famous for drawing people as they look.
Yeah, Picasso's famous nudes.
Where their boobs are over above their heads.
Yeah. If Picasso could come to the now and see where his art was in galleries, he'd be sick. He'd be like, this was pornos, effectively.
That's just what they used to look like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You ever seen titties from my time? That's what they look like.
Jesus.
Thanks, Felix.
Felix,
how do you go around statues, Jackson?
It's a struggle, dude.
So Jackson said that he doesn't jerk it to Duke Nukem only because he has, in direct quotes, better options available.
Yeah.
But in the 90s, he didn't.
If I was 14,
I will agree with you on that one point, that when you are a horny 14-year-old who wants to jerk it, sometimes you've just got to make do. But when you're an adult with the access to the internet...
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you're not going to. You're going to pick something better. But are you telling me that if you were 13... 12, depending on how early puberty kicked in for you, and you saw those boobas in Duke Nukem 3D, a little part of your pubert brain.
Let me just say this, Jackson. I'd be in the crafting menu for 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, because Jackson originally painted a word picture was, it's really sad to imagine someone, like, constantly tap, like, one hand...
Tapping Y to get the boobs revealed, because you got to interact with the
And one, the in then. One hand, a Nintendo 64 controller, in other hand, their...
Turgid wiener in the other. Yeah.
He encouraged everyone to email in to agree with him, and Felix is the only person that has said yes.
I think we had one more, maybe.
No, the other person said you're a lunatic.
Damn it. Rats. As for suck-off Switch games, obviously Hollow Knight is sort of the classic. That'd be the first one that would come to mind for me, I think. But then also, like, if you can get your hands on it, because it's, you know, now illegal or whatever, the Super Mario 35th Anniversary, that's yeah, got that's three true. Suck-offable games.
Wait, is it illegal now?
It's not illegal.
It's just not available anymore.
Yeah, so they timed it. It was a timed release for some crazy reason. So, as of the 31st of March 2021, it was removed from the Switch store, and stores can no longer order it in. But physical copies obviously still exist. But,
yeah. So if I have a physical copy and I'm done with it, and I take it back to my good old EB Games, can they on-sell it as a second-hand game?
Yeah,
that's
fine. Yeah, okay. For sure.
It hasn't been, like, removed from classification. It's just stopped production.
Yeah they didn't E.T. it and buried it in a landfill.
No. Sad.
Maybe they should have, because that would have been funny.
Yeah, it would have been a good joke. But yeah, that's a classic option. That, Hollow Knight, Duke Nukem,
World Tour.
Forever. World Tour, excuse me. A little game called Pod Racer. Star Wars Episode 1 Pod Racer.
Great game. Classic. Really graphics.
Turok 2.
Turok 2 Seeds of Evil is another really good one that's available on the Nintendo Switch. And I think that's it, really.
I would say, just looking at the games that I've got next to me, Breath of the Wild's a good one. Super Mario Galaxy.
Super Mario Galaxy fucking rules.
Oh, it's Tom. Such a game.
Damn.
But yeah, Super Mario Galaxy is the best of the 35th. I mean, I've not played Sunshine, but man, Galaxy is such a good game.
Is Galaxy 2 available? Because Galaxy 2 also is a good game.
Galaxy 2 is like, it's the perfect Mario sequel in a way, because they took everything that was good about Galaxy and were like, have some more.
Crank it up.
Yeah, which, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze will be a good way for you and your wife to get a divorce. I recommend that.
Yeah,
true. Yeah,
Scott Pilgrim game is on Switch.
Yeah,
been re-released.
There's also like a couple of like more mindless games. So like Burnout Paradise on Switch. That's an easy way to kill time. It's like a pick up and play. You can play for like an hour. Time goes by. You just put it down, and you don't need to worry about keeping track of where you're up to or anything like that. The Hyrule Warriors games as well, very mindless fun, just kill thousands upon thousands of boys.
Dynasty Warriors, however you want to pronounce it with whichever country you live in, is my favorite mindless PlayStation game. If there is a Zelda version of that, you should buy it.
Yeah, there's, Tom, there's two. You should get them. They're good.
Do it.
I do like killing lots of enemies and not thinking about anything.
And if you want to send us an email, you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod on Twitter. Today's episode was 4 thumbs for bullying, 4 thumbs and a knock for Resident Evil Village. It sounds like you've dropped your 10 thumbs of Duke Nukem, Jackson.
No. Well, that's tricky.
Is it still your game of the year?
Oh, man. It does get knocked down a little bit. I would say that it's currently, if it was in the, say the running to be my game of the year, like top three possibilities, it's probably been knocked down to top five.
Whoa.
But depending on what Duke does to the main boss, we'll see how it falls.
If he poos in another man.
Yeah, if he poos in that boss or pisses on it or puts a bomb in its vagina or whatever, all things he's done to bosses in the past. Yeah. Then we might be back up to a top three, very possibly.
Have you thought about buying Duke Nukem Forever on Steam, Jackson?
It's not a bad idea. Maybe I should.
It'll be bad, but you might have fun.
Yeah. Well, let me see how much it is.
Yeah. Anyway, while you do that, today's episode, I've lost count again, so let's just say 20 thumbs. Well done.
Yeah, well done, everyone.
Yeah,
well
done. That feels about right.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Tom.
And Tom, what podcasts do you do on the Sans Pants Radio Network and otherwise? But I don't know why I said otherwise, because they're all on Sans Pants.
It's true. There are no otherwises here. Look, I do a few. If you want to hear me not be bleeped out and cause... If you want to hear me cause Dusha more headaches, just listen to How Good's Footy. New episodes on Wednesdays. Also, if you want to hear me be scared, there is Scaredy Boys, which is me and two other people watching horror movies. And if you think that I was weeing my pants playing Village, I was. I also wee my pants on this show a lot. So if that's your thing, your episodes are out every Friday. You can also hear me doing some D&D stuff sometimes.
Yeah, you're everywhere.
I'm everywhere. All the time. I'll never be back on this show, though, because I swore three times, even though I nailed the intro.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, anyway, until next time, get your thumbs out, everyone, and just have a good time.
That's good advice.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.